보다 주와 살이도 바꿔준다. 크리스나 하레 크리스나 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 하레 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 라마 하레 라마 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 하레 하레 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Haribo, 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 Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Astatatara Sata Shri Shri Mad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON, the founder of Charya Shri Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki, Namacharya Shri Lahari Das Thakur Ki, Premshekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrindiki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kungiri Govardhan Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Ganga Maya Munamai Ki, Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Prasadam Distribution Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27, verses 22 and 23. Repeat after me, please. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Krishnam Upamantriya Surabhi Payasatmanah Jale Akasha Gangaya Evavata Karodritai Indra Surashibhi Sakam Chodito Deva Matribi Abhyasin Chata Dashaham Govinda Iti Cha Biyadat Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Krishna Upamantriya Surabhi Payasatmanah Jale Akasha Gangaya Eravata Karodritai Indra Surashibhi Sakam Chodito Deva Matribi Abhyasinchata Dashaham Govinda Iti Cha Biyadat Maharaj Shri Shuka Uvacha Vaishnavis, please.
Thank you.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. I'm sorry, I got to do for the word for word, I apologize. Okay, the word for word, Sri Sukha Uvacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, Upamantriya, requesting, Surabhi, Mother Surabhi, Payasa, with milk, Atmana, her own, Jalai, with the water, Akasha Gangaya, of the Ganges flowing through the heavenly region known as the Mandakini. Of the Ganges flowing through the heavenly region known as the Mandakini. Iravata, of Indra's carrier, the elephant Iravata. Kara, by the trunk. Udritai, carried. Indra, Lord Indra. Sura, by the demigods. Rishibhi, with the great sages. Sakam, accompanied. Chodita, inspired. Deva, of the demigods. Matribhi, by the mothers headed by Aditi. Abhyasinchata, he bathed. Dashaham, Lord Krishna, the descendant of King Dashaha. Govinda iti, as Govinda, cha, and Abhyadat, he named the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Shukadev Goswami said, having thus appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Surabhi performed his bathing ceremony with her own milk. And Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the demigods, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Iravata. Thus, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna, the descendant of Dashaha, and gave him the name Govinda. Can you repeat after me, please? Shukadev Goswami said, having thus appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Surabhi performed his bathing ceremony with her own milk. And Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the demigods, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Iravata. Thus, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna, the descendant of Dashaha, and gave him the name Govinda. Purport. According to the Acharyas, because Indra was embarrassed by his blunder of attacking Vrindavan, he was reluctant to worship the Lord. Therefore, the heavenly mothers, such as Aditi, encouraged him to go ahead and worship the Lord. Feeling authorized by the encouragement of demigods less offensive than him, he then bathed the Lord. Indra discovered that the beautiful cowherd boy named Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I think it's been about 2 weeks since we were on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what I've decided to do is to do like a summary. Because thank you, Maharaj. I just want to mention one point. Mahavishnu Swami should really be giving this class because he lives the Bhagavatam every moment, you see. But I asked him for permission to give class. He gave his permission. So I thank you very much, Maharaj Vishnu Swami, for your permission to give class. I hope I don't embarrass myself. Hope I can say something authorized. Hare Krishna. Okay, so this pastime starts in chapter 24. Goes on to 25, 26, 9, 27, over four chapters. And we're coming to the concluding verses of this particular lila pastime. Okay, so what I decided to do is give like a brief summary and then talk a little bit about this verse. Now, first of all, Indra, he is a demigod. The way this material universe is divided, we have the earthly planetary systems, which is like in the middle. Above you have the heavenly planets. Below that you have the planets below that, subterranean planets. Some of them are heavenly planets. So that's the structure of the ancient universe. So we're situated in the middle planetary system, and Indra is situated in the upper planetary system, or the heavenly planetary system. Shri Shri Radha Lindanishvara Ki, Shri Giri Govardhan Ki, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Lady Subhadra Ki, Gaura Premanand, Hari Hari Bol. So the demigods, what is their position in relationship to Krishna? Now I found in the Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 36, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes that the demigods, they're called Adikrita Dasa, which means they are appointed servants. Now here's a quote from that section. Srila Prabhupada writes, demigods appointed to particular types of departmental service. Okay, and he gives some examples, like Lord Brahma, he controls the mode of passion. Lord Shiva controls the mode of ignorance, and Indra, he's obviously the king of heaven, and he controls what? He controls the rain, isn't it? The rainfall. Now, there's other demigods as well, but they're also appointed by Krishna, and the demigods are devotees of Lord Krishna. They are devotees of Lord Krishna. And there's a quote from... I'll give you that quote later on when it comes up. But they are devotees of Lord Krishna. So what we have here is Krishna dealing with one of his devotees who has deviated, do you understand? Who has been overcome by the material energy, all right? Now when we look at this pastime of Indra, we see that what he was trying to do was quite abominable. He was trying to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. They were pure devotees. Can you imagine that? So that's quite a bubble. But yet, because he's a devotee of Krishna, Krishna dealt with him differently than he would deal with the demons. With demons, he kills them, doesn't he? He kills them to show his mercy. With devotees, he tries to rectify them. Anyway, I'm just going to go over a brief summary. This chart, this pastime starts in chapter 24. Now, this is from the Krishna book, and this is all a quote. While engaged with the Brahmanas, who were too involved in the performance of Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram also saw the cowherd men were preparing a similar sacrifice in order to pacify Indra, the king of heaven, who is responsible for supplying water. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any demigod. Just by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshipping the demigods, one does not develop devotional service for Krishna. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. So that's the quote from chapter 24 of the Krishna book. Now, Indra supplies rain. And rain, we need to grow crops, grow food. People subsist on on the food that they produce. So when Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj to stop this Indra worship, then this is a very serious. It's a situation of life and death. Without rain, you can't grow the food. If you don't grow food, everybody dies. This is quite a very big thing that Krishna is asking Nanda Maharaj and obviously the other members of the cowherd community. Now, Nanda Maharaj eventually agrees to do what Krishna wants. Why is that? Is it based on logic? Is it based on reason? No, it's based on the fact that he is a pure devotee of Krishna. Pure devotees do anything that Krishna wants. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj decides to do exactly what Krishna wants and therefore decides to not do the Indra Yagya or Indra sacrifice, but instead to do another sacrifice. Now, the actual logic of this is given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse 22, where it says, the translation is, endowed with such faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. So in fact, even people who do worship demigods, the actual benefit is given by Krishna to the demigod, and the demigod just passes it on to the worship to his worshipper. So the demigod is in fact just a middleman. Do you understand? He's not the person that gives the actual benefit. Krishna gives the benefit, but he does it through the actual demigods. So, now, this is from chapter 24. This is a quote also where he explains that Indra was a devotee. So this is a quote from chapter 24. It says, King Indra was certainly a devotee, not a demon. But because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first tried to make Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which was arranged by the cowherd men in Vrindavan. So Krishna stopped this worship of Lord Indra, and instead he asked them to perform a worship of Govardhan Hill, which is none different from him. Now, Indra's response to the cowherd community not performing the Indra Yagya was that So Indra became angry, and this is a quote, he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Okay, he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Now, Indra was in charge of these particular clouds. They're called Samvartaka clouds. And it explains there that these Samvartaka clouds, this is a quote, this cloud is invited when there is need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. Now, in that case, the cosmic manifestation means the universe. So this is like the most powerful weapon that Krishna has, these clouds, because they can destroy the whole universe. So he sends them to this little village, Vrindavan, and they direct their work on that. Now it says here, this is a quote, there was constant lightning and thunder, blowing of severe wind, and incessant falling of rain. The rainfall seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows, by pouring water as thick as pillars without devastation. So can you imagine the raindrops being as thick as that? That pillar, that's a pillar, isn't it? Do you know, it doesn't say how big the pillars are. So imagine raindrops that big. You walk down Oxford Street and one of those falls on your head, isn't it? And not just one, but lots. So you can imagine, that's a lot of weight of water, isn't it? You can be hit by one of those. So can you imagine the scene? Now, what does Krishna do in response to this? So Krishna obviously picks up Govardhan Hill and uses it as an umbrella, isn't it? Now, I don't know when umbrellas first came on the scene, isn't it? But this could be it, couldn't it? The first umbrella, isn't it? I just remember, you know, because there's one shop down New Oxford Street, all it sells is umbrellas, isn't it? What is his umbrella? So I was thinking, it would be nice if they had something like that, like Krishna lifting up Govardhan Hill, the first umbrella. The first umbrella ever. Okay, so anyway, Krishna picks up Govardhan Hill, uses an umbrella. All his devotees come under there to take shelter. And they stay there for 1 week. And it explains in the Krishna book, it says there was no inconvenience of hunger, thirst, etc. There's no inconvenience whatsoever, you understand? So for example, they're under there, they're completely, there's no hunger, there's no thirst, no one has to go to the bathroom, okay? No one has to do anything, okay? They're just there underneath the umbrella with Krishna, and they're having wonderful, loving exchanges with Krishna. So they're all completely happy. Now, when Indra saw that his most powerful weapon, these Sambartika clouds, failed because no one was being hurt, no one was being affected, then he suddenly realized, you know, I am defeated. And therefore, in that mood of defeat, he went to Lord Krishna. First he realized, you know, I think I made a mistake. I think I made a big mistake here. And then he went to Lord Krishna. Now, in chapter 27, verse 3 in the Bhagavatam, there's a quote here. It says, this is the purport by Ridhananda Maharaj. It says, from the commentaries of the Acharyas, we understand that Lord Krishna wanted to provide a solitary meeting for Indra so he would not be further humiliated. Indra came to surrender and beg forgiveness, and the Lord allowed him to do so privately. See what I mean? That's very nice, isn't it? Isn't that very nice? I mean, it shows the heart of the Lord, you know. So remember, he's king of heaven. You know, he completely embarrassed himself. All the demigods were watching this. They saw what he was. He's the king of heaven. He completely embarrassed himself. And of course, Lord Krishna provided some facility by which he can come and just reveal his mind. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, verse 15, is a quote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me. Okay, now this is what happens when we become overcome by the material energy. The material energy is so complicated, it's extremely complicated, that we are a jiva, we're a tiny jiva, and we become bewildered, overcome by this material energy. I give you an example of how complicated the material energy is. The atom, for example. How long have they been trying to figure out what an atom is? The atom is the smallest part of this material world. You can't get smaller than the atom, you understand? It's the smallest part. Scientists, the top scientists in the world, have been spending millions of pounds over the ages trying to find out what an atom is. What they do, they get two atoms, they put it in what's called an accelerator. These accelerators are like miles long, and they're in circles, and they speed up the atoms, approaching the speed of light. Then they crash them into each other. So two atoms smash into each other. And then from all the particles, all the bits, they try and figure out all the parts of the atom. Like you have two cars, and you're not quite sure how many parts there are to a car. So you get them to smash them into each other, all the bits. Okay, a car is made up of a seat and a steering wheel. Do you know what I mean? And some wheels. So that's what they do. Basically, that's what... Now they build these accelerators, they make them more powerful, and the more powerful they make them, and the more they smash them into, the more parts they find. It's like over 100 parts now, and it's increasing. So they still haven't figured out what an atom is, which is the smallest part of this material world, okay? So, you know, you can imagine the rest of the material world is so complicated. And when we come here, because it is so complicated, we become entangled. We become entangled. One devotee once described this material world to be like, we're like a fly and we're stuck to a spider's web. Do you know what I mean? We're trying to free ourselves. We're in a very uncomfortable position. We're stuck there. We don't have enough freedom. Therefore, we try and free ourselves. And what happens? A fly stuck in a spider's web. When it tries to free itself, what happens to that fly? He gets more stuck, isn't it? He doesn't know how to, he doesn't know about the spider's web, which is the material world. He doesn't have full knowledge about the spider's web, which is the material world. So therefore, when he tries to get himself unstuck, he finds he touches the parts which are as sticky as the parts he's on. And as he tries to turn and get himself free, and eventually he gets bound up more and more and more and more. And instead of freeing himself, trying to free himself, what happens? He entraps himself even further and further. Instead of creating greater freedom for himself, he diminishes his freedom. Do you understand? Why is that? Because he doesn't have knowledge, complete knowledge about the material world. And when he tries to act in the material world, he becomes increasingly more and more bound up. Okay? So, it's extremely complicated. So therefore, we need the guidance of someone who does know about this material world, who knows every single thing about this material world. There's one person, I think you all know who that person is, beginning with K. Okay, that person is Krishna, you understand? And in this case, he has another name, Govinda, do you understand? So we need to take shelter of Krishna, and then he will tell us how to get free of this spider's web of the material world, okay? Now he says, he recommends that we perform devotional service to him. Now, we can see Indra. Can you imagine? Demigods have incredible intelligence, incredible power. And he's the king of all the demigods. Do you know what I mean? You can imagine how much power and intelligence he has. But still, he becomes entangled within this material world. Isn't it? Still. We saw that. He became influenced by the material energy. So much so that he became angry and he wanted to kill this whole village of pure devotees. Isn't it? Can you imagine when we read these sections about Vaishnava aparads, isn't it? He says you make an offense if you're not pleased to see a Vaishnava. you make an offense if you say some statements, which are negative about that person. Now, Lord Indra, he wanted to kill not only one pure devotee, a whole village of pure devotees. Do you understand? He wanted to kill them all. He was so angry. When you're angry, as it says in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, intelligence is lost. Do you understand? You don't think of the consequences of your action. You're just angry and you just want to act and destroy that which is making you angry. Isn't it? That is how we feel. So Indra was overcome by this extremely complicated material energy. And therefore he became angry. He wanted to destroy all the residents of Vrindavan. Now, this was the situation. Now, after seeing Lord Krishna in a solitary place, and it describes that this solitary place was at the base of Govardhan Hill. At the base of Govardhan Hill. So after seeing that, he was offering prayers to Lord Krishna. And in these prayers, so this chapter is titled Indra and Surabhi Offer Prayers. Now, Indra was offering prayers. When he came from the heavenly planets, he also brought this heavenly cow called Surabhi with him as well. So he was offering prayers, and then Surabhi, the heavenly cow, was also offering prayers as well. Now, so when they met in a solitary place, Lord Indra was revealing his mind and asking for forgiveness. Now, he was fearful because he knew he had done something really abominable. Now, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita about doing abominable things. Who knows that one? Yeah. Thank you, Jani Thai Prabhu. So it's Thank you, Maharaj. So it's Apichet Sudaracharu Bhajatin Mayam Ananyabhak Sadhu Eva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasito Hisa. This is Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 30. Even when one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. Now, what more abominable activity can you think of than killing all these pure devotees, Krishna's friends and relatives? Pretty appalling, isn't it? So because it's explained in Krishna book that Krishna, that Indra is a devotee of Lord Krishna, therefore Krishna rectifies him. He doesn't kill him like he does the demons. He rectifies them and helps him out. Now, there's another verse. Krishna obviously wants to get us out of this material world, and he does so by encouraging us to perform devotional service. So there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's a very beautiful verse, chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti bhavakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yunamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me, Biplab, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Lord Krishna, he's trying to rectify Lord Indra, to improve on his devotional service so that eventually he can come to Lord Krishna, become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Now, when in this particular verse here, it explains that after the prayers were over, Lord Krishna did forgive him. He told him that go back, take up your position as King of Heaven, but beware of false pride, false prestige. We see this false prestige causes problems, doesn't it? It makes us do terrible things, just that in this material world. We see human beings here under false prestige of being leaders and scientists. What have they done? They've created so many problems within the world, so many problems, so many wars. And this is as a result of false prestige, isn't it? They think they know better than Krishna. We don't have to follow scripture. We don't have to follow the scripture. We want to be independent of Krishna. We want to be independent of the Shastra. And we're going to do it my way. I did it my way. See what I mean? Now, look at the result, isn't it? Look what my way has produced. Wars. You can't open a newspaper, you know, without there being something about a war someplace. You know, so many problems. People... you know, even basic things like water, you find that millions of people around the world can't get drinking water. They can't get drinking water. There's one part of the world, like these Western countries, where they have a huge problem in obesity. It's a major problem. The US, this country, is a major, major problem. And in other parts of the world, they have a huge problem because they don't have enough to eat. Do you know what I mean? Doing it your way, isn't it? Human beings, they stand up under great false prestige. I did it my way. Okay, let's see the results of doing it your way. Look at the mess you've made. Why not try something different? You know, how many thousands of years you've been doing it your way? And look at the result. Has there ever been a time when there's been no wars? Has there ever been a time on this planet where there's been no starvation? Has there ever been a time when everyone's been happy? There's never been a time on this planet Earth where That's been the case. I mean, I'm talking about Kali Yuga. I know about previous ages. But why is that? Because human beings want to do it their way. And if we just decide to do it Krishna's way, then things will change. Then things will be much more better. I mean, there's a couple of verses later on, which I'm just going to say what will happen if we do it Krishna's way. Now, Krishna's way means this. We follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We engage in loving devotional service towards Lord Krishna. If you want to know what devotional service is, and you're watching on the internet, come to a Hare Krishna temple, because that is where you will learn about devotional service. So, later on in chapter 27, it explains the result. So, Lord Indra bathes Lord Krishna. Now, his elephant, Airavata, fills up his trunk with Ganges water. And this elephant bathes Lord Krishna on Indra's behalf. And the heavenly Sarabika decides to bathe Lord Krishna with her milk. And it explains later on the consequences of that. And this is what happens. It says, After that was done, all the three worlds felt supreme satisfaction. Rivers flowed with various kinds of tasty liquids. Trees exuded honey. Edible plants came to maturity without cultivation. That means plants just gave forth their fruit or their grains without cultivating them. And hills gave forth jewels. All living creatures, even those cruel by nature, became entirely free of enmity. You understand? So this is it. This is what happened after they had bathed Lord Krishna. So this is what will happen if we perform devotional service, cooperate with Krishna, and let Krishna control our life. Let Krishna control our relationships, isn't it? I mean, how many of us have in controlling our relationships, we end up ruining them, isn't it? Is that something we have a lot of experience of in this material world, isn't it? You know, we try to control some relation, do this, do that, and then suddenly it ends. We get a mess. Okay, so let Krishna control our lives, our relationship. Let Krishna control our jobs, our future. You understand? Let Krishna do all those things. Why is that? Because Krishna, that is what he's good at. He's Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller. Krishna is good at controlling things. Because when he controls things, everyone's satisfied. Okay? So let Krishna do what he's good at, which is controlling. Let him control our lives. And let us do what we're good at. And we're good at serving Krishna. We're not good at controlling. You can look at the world today. We're not good at controlling things. So let Krishna do what he does best, that is control things. Let us do what we do best, which is to serve Krishna. And then there will be a win-win situation. Everyone will benefit. Everyone will win. Do you mean? There will be no losers. That is spiritual consciousness, where everyone wins. Do you know what I mean? Everybody gets a gold medal. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay. All right. Do you have any questions? Okay. Maharaj.
Go over downhill. So how did Nanda Maharaj accept that? It was a hill, and then we've got to offer to go over downhill. Can you elaborate on that?
As far as I can remember, Krishna was explaining that how we obtain, how the Kaur community obtain all their subsistence from go over downhill. Is that correct, Maharaj? And therefore, they should worship Govardhan Hill. And is that correct, Maharaj? I'm sure you know the answer to that. Could you elaborate on that, Maharaj? It's a. I can't remember. I'm sorry, Maharaj. I have a limited memory. Does anyone remember that? Let me see if I can find that. You should worship Govardhan Hill and the Brahmanas. Yes. Thank you very much, Mali. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. Very well prepared. My question was, the materialists, they regard welfare work, like feeding people and clothing people, they regard this as the highest, whereas Hare Krishna, they regard spiritual knowledge, this is the highest welfare activity. But my question is, in all these places with droughts, we're told in the Bhagavad Gita, if we perform yajna, then there is rainfall.
Yes.
So would this not be a very good way of proving the supremacy of spiritual sacrifice by creating rainfall in these places? It would be huge publicity.
Right. No, these things like rainfall, they're not under our control. They're under the control of the demigods. Do you mean in every activity, there's always five factors. There's the doer, the place, there's the endeavor, there's the senses, and there's the divine deva or Krishna, you understand? So even though we may perform all these yagyas, we may perform a yagya like this, for example, it's up to Krishna, you understand? There's five factors, so it may not actually work. I mean, one devotee, I think it was Bhagavad Shri Prabhu, yeah, many years ago, he was when he was temple president in I think it was Sydney, Australia, he was explaining that they were having a drought in Australia. And one politician said, look, you Hare Krishnas are saying, you know, by performing yagya, you can get rainfall and so on. Can you do that? So they did, you know, but they didn't get the rainfall because it's not under control. It's under Krishna's control. Do you understand? Ultimately, it's under Krishna's control. But for sure, if we do perform devotional service, then everything will eventually balance out. I mean, we're talking about food shortages. There are no food shortages. I mean, if you speak to people on land, for example, they will tell you that there's no food shortages. I know one man I know, he's a Turkish man, he has land in Turkey. He has many orchards growing all sorts of wonderful fruits. And he says it'll cost him more to harvest the fruit, transport it to the market and sell it. He said it'll cost him more. He will lose money doing that. He will lose money harvesting the fruit. So he just leaves it there to fall and rot. Also, all these supermarkets and all these shops which sell fruit and vegetables, when, for example, an apple loses its shine, you can still eat it, loses its shine, they take it and they throw it away. There's huge amounts of food being thrown away. There is enough food just to feed everyone all over the world. But the thing is, it's mismanagement. I remember in the 70s, what they were doing in order to keep the price of butter and grains high, you understand? Because the farmers were producing excessive amounts of grain, excessive amounts of butter. In order to keep it high, what they do, they wouldn't release it on the market to be bought by the people. What they do, they would dump it into these huge, grain mountains and butter lakes. They just dump it there just to rot, you understand? In order to restrict the supply of grains and butter on the market so the price would stay. There's mismanagement. There are enough rains on the planet and to produce enough food for people, but because of mismanagement of human beings, that's why we have these shortages around the world. Okay, yes, last question.
I was just wondering, why do the people tolerate it? You know, why do people put up with it? Why don't they revolt? It's just a disgrace, isn't it? And well, it's very saddening. But why don't people, you know, stand up and do something?
Well, I mean, people are standing up and doing something. I mean, people are. I mean, you'll find that a lot of people, that consciousness is spreading across the planet. Lots of communities who are basing their life on different values, you understand? And of course, the Hare Krishna movement is very prominent because we're an international society, we're spread all over the world and we're increasing, do you understand? And what we have to do, and some of the leaders in our movement are doing this, is establish self-sufficient farming communities, do you know what I mean? Where people can live according to Krishna conscious principles. You know, simple living, high thinking, do you know what I mean? Now, many people in this material world, and especially in the Western countries, the living is very complicated. Complicated living, low thinking, isn't it? Isn't that's what it is, isn't it? Very their life is so complicated, you know what I mean? And low thinking, because all they're thinking about is profit. All they think about is sense gratification. That's low thinking, isn't it? And because of that, they're very dissatisfied. Now, what we're doing in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is just try to establish these self-sufficient farming communities so that people can have simple living and high thinking. And that will produce satisfaction. That will produce bliss. Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine that? You know, because some exist already.
where people meet every morning, and you know, can you imagine that? And they have no anxieties about food and clothing and shelter and all those things, and their main focus and their focus is just to glorify Krishna. Can you imagine how happy people will be? Isn't it? You know, these days, what do we see? Everyone out there, no matter how big their job is or how high paying, they have anxiety about keeping their job, about money, about all these. You know what I mean? Their mind is full up with these things. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's something which is happening with the Tathagata movement, and hopefully will increase more and more because there is a need for it. And then people will come. When people see there's an alternative, there is a viable alternative, and it works, people will go to that because, you know, it's losing its attractiveness. The material world is losing its attractiveness. And the people within the material world, the materialists, are losing their attractiveness. Just like a spark, when it's within the fire, it's very bright and attractive. And when you take that spark away from the fire, gradually it loses its attraction. So similarly, the people within this material world, you'll find that they're losing their brightness. And if we see, for example, a group of people who are in the fire of Krishna consciousness, very bright and attractive, people will naturally be attracted towards them. Thank you very much. I have to finish now. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Pramanand. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Jayapataka Swami ki. My Vishnu Swami ki. Okay, shall we discuss? Thank you very much. So, discourse today, Govinda's restaurant. Sorry, discourse from yesterday, Govinda's restaurant. 254 customers were served for £1,987. Hari Bol. Book distribution scores. Two devotees went out. Back to Adam Watson. Collected 19 Lakshmi, distributed 14 small, 5 medium, 1 maha big book for 8 book points. Back to Lori, collected 80 Lakshmi, distributed 20 maha big for 40 book points. Transcendental book distribution, key. Prasadam distribution, key. Can we have servers on the men's side, please? Thank you very much. And service on the ladies' side, thank you very much. Someone to clean up the temple afterwards, thank you very much. Right, we say our prayer now. Dear Sri Sri Radha Landanishvara, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Sri Sri Gauri Nitai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. If you so desire, please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Sri Sri Radha Landanishvara ki. Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Lady Subhadra ki. Sri Sri Gauri Nitai ki. Sri Giri Govardhan ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanand, Hari Hari Bol. Prasadam chain. Right, can everyone to help in the prasadam chain, please? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna Thank you. Thank you.